Praise the Lord. And we're just going to bless the Messiah this morning. We come to bless you. We've come to give you honor and praise and lift you up. The Bible says, and your word says, that if we lift you up, that all men will be drawn unto you. So, Lord, we just set this time apart to lift you up.
Yes, God.
Lord, it's not about the people. It's about you. And so we want your name to be lifted up today, Father. Help us to do that, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech hayeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. With the Vishamru on page 45 for those who are following along in the Greenberg Siddur. Not many of you are. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasor et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasor et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sor et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, et shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et Shabbat, Lasod et HaShabbat Le Doro Tamburito Olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. I want to welcome everybody, folks watching us online. Shabbat Shalom. I want to welcome everybody here. Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
And, Shabbat Shalom.
If you're watching at home, where I'm Rabbi Joe, this is Rebbetzin Don, and we have Diane over here on our worship team, and Mr. Anthony Cody. We are Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, Ari Yehuda, and we welcome you. We're glad you're with us today, wherever you are watching, and feel free to let us know on Facebook. You can message us that you were with us, or you can go to our website and you can find our email and just drop us a line. We're glad to have you with us. Wherever you are in the country, we're thrilled to have you, and hope that you're well and survived all the storms. We've been praying for you, for those folks who have. So just enjoy the service today, and Shabbat Shalom. Father, we just come before you and we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, for the coming of the Messiah, Lord. That's what the Shalom means, for the peace of Yeshua, the peace of the Messiah in every person's heart in Israel. And we just pray that one by one, the scales will fall from their eyes, that they will come to know you, Lord, as their Messiah. And Savior, your King and their Lord, that they will know Adonai, and they will not have to tell their neighbor, saying, you know, asking who is the Lord, but they will all know you, and they will all worship you as King Messiah. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for our sins. He was buried, spent 3 days in the tomb, 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. And we just give you the praise and the glory that you save your people Israel. And your word says you're coming back to save Israel, that you will come back when Israel is in distress, and you will come back to save her. And they shall look upon you whom they've pierced, as a father mourns for an only son. And you shall come in the clouds with power and great glory on that day. And we just rejoice and we look forward to that, Lord, to your coming. And Father, I pray for the American Jewish people, Lord, for their salvation. Lord, I pray that they would, as I call it, pull the rug out from under people. You know, Florida, Miami, and South Florida's in Tampa is the third largest Jewish population in America, a little bit under 1 million, and God is beginning to pull the rug out from under the Jewish people to bring them home. His purpose is not to kill them, not to harm them, as he says, "I have plans for you," says the Lord, "not to do you harm, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future." And his plan is to bring the Jewish people home to Israel. And so, Lord, we know your plan is going to come to pass, and we can't fight it. We can pray against storms, and you can show mercy like you did, and I believe in mercy, and that we should pray against the storm. But ultimately, the storms are going to hit, and your purposes will be fulfilled to bring your people back. And we just thank you for that, that day comes. I pray for Mom today, that you help her to breathe. I thank you. You've extended her life. I'm amazed, really amazed that she's still here. And I just pray for Harriet, for strength, for sleep, and that you drain the fluid off Mom's chest and help her to breathe. And pray for all our Jewish friends and family. But also want to pray for the Messianic leaders. Pray, Lord, that our leaders would rise up and lead us, that they would actually do their job, and as the New England Patriots say, do your job, and that our leaders would rise up and lead the movement, and that they would lead with vision, and that they would lead with unselfishly, that they would serve the congregations and the rabbis and feed the flock, feed the rabbi, feed the shepherds, that our leaders would minister to the shepherds. They've taken a position of authority to be authority over the rabbis. Lord, help them to walk in that authority and not to walk for selfish endeavors, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that they would lead our movement into righteous paths and just ways. I pray in Yeshua's name, and I pray for Joel Chernoff for strength and wisdom, and David Chernoff, and all the executives, Lord, that you'd give them humility and the spirit of the Father and the Grandfather, Lord, as they lead the movement. Help them, Lord, to focus unselfishly in Yeshua's name. And I want to pray for the people in Florida and Texas. Just want to pray for your people, Lord, who are struggling without power, or struggling whose businesses have been closed, whose food has rotted in their refrigerators, and all the mildew and mold and things they have to, and lack of air conditioning. Lord God, help those people, strengthen them, protect their health, give them the courage, Lord, to deal with it, to cope with it, Lord. I know it's very stressful when you have floods and damage, and you have to deal with insurance companies. It's just very stressful. Give them peace, Lord. Give them peace. But if you're trying to tell people to move, show them where you want them to move and get them out of there. I heard one guy say after losing two houses in the same spot, he wasn't going back. So for those who you're telling to move, show them where to go. We pray, and we just pray your comfort for them and all the Messianic congregations in the path of the storm, and for shalom today. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, "He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel unto himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength." Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele, asher nochim etzocha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, v'lechtecha v'derech, v'shachbecha v'kumecha, v'kishartam liot al yadecha, V'hayu l'totafot b'in einecha, u'chetavtam al mezuzot b'itecha, u'vishareecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. I'm going to ask Isaac and William to come and carry the Torah today. And Mr. Charlie, if you would come, be so kind as to open the ark for us. If he can handle that. He says he can. Welcome, folks at home. We're glad you're with us. Joining us, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. We are a mega Messianic congregation in the Tri-Cities and beyond. To infinity and beyond. Wendell's shofar blower is getting ready. I'm going to have to report to Wendell. Let him know if his shofar blowers were blowing at the right time. So, shofar blowers, prepare yourselves.
Ein kamocha.
And the answer to that, mi kamocha, is ein kamocha, ve'elim adonai, ve'ein kamasecha, malchutcha, malchut ko olamim, u'memshaltecha, bechol dor vador, Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam ba'er, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Who wants peace?
Thank you.
praise the Lord. Vayhi ben Soharom vayomer Moshe Gur na Adonai hefutsu oivecha Vianusu misanecha mipanecha Ki mitzion tetzei Torah Ki mitzion tetzei Torah Udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yamod. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruchu et Adonai Hamavorah
Baruch Adonai Hamreach Olam Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Hamreach Olam Va'ed
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bakar Banu Mechol Amim Ve'natan Lanu Et Torato Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Anthony Cody.
Y'all can be seated. Okay, okie dokie. We got a double portion today. So it will be, I don't mean to get double time, okay? It just means double portion. So we're going to go through it quickly, expeditiously. It's called Netzvaim and Vayelecha. And it's a double portion. It's the last parasha before the Jewish New Year of Yom Teruah, which I believe we'll be observing that on Wednesday this week coming up. So it's the last one. It's the last, if you read the parasha, it's telling us about the last day that Moses lived. And Israel is standing. God has them standing. All Israel is standing. And they're standing for not only themselves, but they're standing for all the unborns. All of the strangers that are in the land are there. And Israel is passing unto the covenant that God has promised. They're standing there to go into the promised land. You see, the covenant was a promise, or maybe you want to say a contract. It was really a promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was sealed on this day when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River and they go into the promised land. The covenant was sealed on that day. All Israel is God's people, and all of God's people belong unto God. And you see, it's not passing unto the land, but it was actually, the most important thing is the covenant that God made, because the covenant also covered those that are unborn, and it covers all the way down to the present day. That covenant is still in place, and it's for the kids, children that are still unborn at this day. The covenant is for them also. It is one of the most fundamental principles of all the Jewish faith, is the covenants of God. And you know, all will stand before God. You see, Moses warns Israel on this day about the future exile and the desolation of the land of Israel if they abandon God's words, they abandon his mitzvahs, his instructions. If you've ever seen pictures of Israel prior to 1948, you can say it was a land of complete desolation. Though it was a desert, a barren land. Everything was just like destroyed there. And see, Moses is telling Israel today. He says, "You will return one day unto the Heavenly Father, and Israel will not become a cast out, but God will one day gather you and bring you back into the land that was promised to your forefathers, and that's still happening. The Heavenly Father says the mitzvah I command you this day is not beyond you, it is not remote to you, and it is not up in heaven, and it is not across the seas from you. You see, the instruction, the mitzvah that God gave them on that day is close to you. It is in your mouth, and it is upon your heart. For today, passing before you, is life and death, goodness and evil. The same choices that we have today is what they had on that day. And so our question today is, what will we choose today? Will we choose life or will we choose death? Will we choose goodness or will we choose evil? You see, God wanted them to walk before him, and also not only walk before him, but keep his instructions in the ways. And the ways is, one of the ways is the moeds that we will begin to observe next week. That is part of God's instructions. You see, the blessings that God has are still there. The curse is there too, because if you, in Genesis 12, it tells us that if you bless the Jewish people, you bless the land of Israel, God will bless you. If you curse them, God will curse you. But what is the curse? What God is saying is, if you make my land small, I will remove my blessings from you, and I will make you small. That's what God is telling us. The blessings are still there. And on this day, you know, Joshua is going to be the new leader. Moses is going to transfer the leadership of the Israelites to Joshua. He was one of the spies that went across. And because of his report, God has chosen him to be one that will lead the Jewish people into the promised land. And so we see all of the Israelites were gathered. It's just like with the mitzvahs and with the coming feast that we're going to see. These are all in the Torah, and they're a part of God's word. And no other time in history have the people followed the blessings of the Torah and the Spirit of Yeshua as we are today. People are looking more at the feast or asking questions. You see, Yeshua in that day is going to gather believers from all the corners of the earth, will be called. And in Jeremiah 29, it tells us, I will be found of, and I will return you from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations of the world. Yeshua came to seek and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What is a lost sheep? It's one that journeys beyond the shepherd's control. And we, next week, you know, we will be here from Yom Tov. We're going to be here for the new year. So we're going to be standing here before God. Acts 3 says, repent and return so your sins shall be removed and refreshing shall come upon you from the Heavenly Father. And when we do that, his word tells us he will at one point send Yeshua. But what we're seeing today is the restoring of the Torah, and the true righteousness is a prophecy coming true today before our very eyes. It's the prophecy of God's worth. It is a birthing process. As Rebbetzin Don this week and in the coming weeks will be blowing the shofar, the shofar has no words. You see, the words are from when she blows the shofar, it comes in her heart. It comes deep. And there is no words that can explain the shofar. It is a wail. It is a birthing process. In John 3, it says, Yeshua said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So the sound of the shofar is like a birthing process. Any mother here today that's had a child will tell you that the child isn't born at conception. There is a period of time where the child is developed in the womb, and then there is the pain of the birth of the child. But she would tell you today that the pain is worth it. So it is a birthing process when we see that the shofar is blown. You know, labor takes time. We are not born, like I said, instantly. When conception occurs, you're not born at that point. But God said we must be born again, not a perishable seed, but imperishable seed, the living and doing the word of God. And that, to close this Torah portion this morning, is Yeshua. He is the living word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Shabbat shalom.
To the feast of the Lord and worshiping him.
Asher Shal Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael
Yadonai Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah. And before Dawn gets to announcements, I just want to say I had a really neat experience last night. Actually got to lead a Hispanic Messianic service, co-lead it with Rabbi Andy in Asheville. And Rabbi Andy has a lot of Hispanic people in his congregation, and he does his congregation by video. And so he's asked me, I preached in Spanish last night. And anybody that's interested, I'll give you the link. We're going to do it the third week of every month. We're going to do the third week of every month. I'll be preaching online. You can link in through Fuse. I'll give you the code. You just have to get Fuse on your computer and you can watch the service if you're interested. But what I did was he led the liturgy, but the goal is really I'll probably be leading the services, and we'll start with one third Friday of every month at night at 7 o'clock, and then if it goes well we'll expand. But we had 20 people last night. And he says they were on the edge of their seats, and they're very hungry, he said. I was preaching on the feasts and preached my first sermon in Spanish. And Carol, you were listening, weren't we? You were there. And it was so quiet, I thought they didn't like it, but he said they were on the edge of their seats. So praise the Lord. I wasn't sure if I was communicating or not. But anyway... So I'm excited about this, because what they're going to do is they're going to send people to South America with computers and to build congregations down there. And I'll be preaching from Bristol to South America, to Mexico and Central America and South America. And it's really amazing. So I learned Spanish, 30 years ago, and I'm finally getting to use it in a larger way for the Lord. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo soy Rabino Jose Campana. That's what they call me. Rabino Jose Campana. That means Rabbi Joe Bell.
That's awesome to see God's word expanding. And in this time of the internet, it's hard to see who we're reaching, and who's watching and who's grabbing a hold, and it's bigger than our congregation and in our little circles. Now we can expand that circle hugely, exponentially, through the internet. So that's awesome way to use the tools that the world has designed. We're going to use them for His kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. We've got an exciting fall feast season coming up. And this is our time to be with the Lord, to hear Him, and for Him to speak to us maybe on a personal level. Maybe he'll speak to each of you individually in some way. Maybe through the rabbi's message, you'll learn something, have a revelation, a new revelation. Maybe God will revive you and bring you to a closer walk with the Lord through this time. But this is his appointed times that he's put on the calendar. And if we really love the Lord, we will respect his decision to set this time apart. And it's a set of time. It's a time that's holy for him. That's why they call it the holy, high holy days of the Lord. And starts this Wednesday night, and we've got a numerous amount of services between this Wednesday night and the end of the season, which comes, it's October 11th, I believe, is the last special service. So really prepare your hearts to set this time apart for him. We all have busy schedules, and the world does not acknowledge it, but as we can, let's make a priority for him where we can, okay? Yep. Where it's possible, if it's possible.
Yep. It's possible.
Say if it's possible.
It is possible.
I will be there.
I will be there.
If it's possible.
If it's possible.
Not if it's convenient. Not if I feel like it. Not.
Amen.
if the Lord speaks to me. No, he already spoke to us in his word. Amen. So anyway, I'm just encouraging you, and this is not condemnation. I'm just encouraging to respond to the Lord. Amen. So with that said, Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, and you can read all about these feasts in Leviticus 23, starts Wednesday night, September 20th, and our service will be 6:30 p.m., and we'll have the full, we'll have a liturgical service and the blowing of the shofars 100 times, and it's a specific way to do that, and it's a very holy moment. There are many themes about this. Wedding, feast, preparation, awakening, judgment, and then we have 10 days after that of judgment before Yom Kippur, and the highest holy day of the Lord, when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and bring a sacrifice for the atonement of Israel and for the nations. And so this is a very prophetic time of the Lord, and Wednesday night is our liturgical service. We will follow it up with an oneg, a light oneg, with traditional honey cakes and apples and honey. So those of you, we had a meeting, but I'm going to send out some more information. If you'll bring some snacks and desserts and things like that for Wednesday night, coffee and sweets following the service this Wednesday night, 6:30.
Is the schedule on our website?
It's on the website, and also I have printed out schedules in your bulletins. So feel free to take these with you and hand them out to people, as many as you like. I've got more downstairs too. If you just want this fall feast schedule, I'll have them available downstairs. I'll put some out on the table and in the fellowship hall. So please take that so you can kind of put it on your refrigerator, and you'll know what's coming up. All right, and then Friday night is our other Rosh Hashanah service, and it's more for the community, 7 o'clock. It'll be a simplified, shorter service, but still with the Rosh Hashanah theme and the fall feast message overview Rabbi's going to bring. So please, as I said before, make a priority to come if you are able to. And those of you who are in the congregation, we'll probably be meeting here around 5:30 or 6 as soon as you can there's all sorts of preparations to be done. So if you can come a little early or just be available in case if something pops up, I might give a little text or call to certain people. Okay? All right. And that's all I have for this week. So just bring friends and family, and let's make it a wonderful
time. What about your aviation?
Yes. Oh, yes. This week, And I will say, yes, that we have the calendars out there. That was the other thing I was reaching for. Calendars. If you need a calendar, we've got them. They're $13, and they're available out in the vestibule in the front there. Or
absolutely beautiful.
Yes, they're wonderful scenes of Israel. So pick up your calendar for the year. God's calendar, his dates are right there. Okay? And so, the other thing about this week concerning the services is I'm going to need to do some things also to prepare. So I was going to have Monday as a day of getting things ready. So if anybody is available to come to the synagogue, if you'll just call me, or I've got certain things that need to be done to clean up and to change out. The banners need to be changed. The altar needs to be changed. And we want to do a few things in the fellowship hall to fix it up, put some pictures on the walls and things like that. So especially if the men can come. There's also a few projects in the parking lot that really need to be attended to if we can before we have visitors. So please see me about that, and know that Monday is kind of, I'm setting that aside to be ready. Okay?
And Dawn, I would like to have maybe an extra person to volunteer to help me clean the brass and all the menorah. And
okay. So contact Diane, and you're free in the evenings probably. Mm-hmm. So Diane would like a helper one evening, probably Monday or Tuesday, mm-hmm. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, to get the altar items ready and cleaned up. So just please contact her, and we can talk in the fellowship more about that. All right, and the last thing, this is, you can see all the other services for Yom Kippur and Shabbat, Sukkot, and I won't go through them. They're all listed here, and I'll continue to keep you updated. The website is up and running, so all the dates are there as well, and I'll be sending out emails to everyone. Now, also on those emails, if you have a friend you want to share it with, there you scroll down to the bottom, and there is a place that says share or send to a friend, and all you got to do is click on that and then put on input the new emails, and you can send it to your friends. Okay, and the same thing, it'll go out on Facebook. Make sure that you share those things with your friends, and that way, you know, people know about it. Okay. All right, so this weekend also, as you can see, I'm dressed up in a special outfit, and this is in honor of our B-17 that Anthony said he heard fly over yesterday about 2 o'clock. It's been displayed down at the airport, Tri-Cities Airport, all week, and I've been down there talking to people, and they've been taking tours through the airplane. This is awesome. So I just want to mention, welcome to come, and I'm going to get my picture taken in front of the P-51 Mustang. So that's why I'm dressed up in 40s style, and I'm going to have a nice retro pic taken of myself and also our family tomorrow afternoon. So if anyone would like to do that, just call me, or and I can help you get arranged for a picture in front of the P-51 Mustang. And, of course, that's for a donation to help lady pilots, ladies who are interested in aviation. All this money is donated to help ladies and women to have opportunities to fly and to get educated. So please support that if you can. And if you want to have your picture taken, I'll help you do that. Just let me know, and because you do have to schedule it with the photographer. In addition, you can drive your Mustang, your Ford Mustang, out onto the ramp. This is a very unique opportunity, and put it in front of the airplane and take a picture of the P-51 and your Ford Mustang and you. So anyway, that's the deal. Did I skip anything, Joe?
No, but if you have a Ford Fairmont or an Escort, you can do that too.
I don't know if that'll look quite.
Does anybody remember a Fairmont? What's that? You can drive your Taurus up there. Your Lincoln.
All right, so that's all I have, Rabbi, and I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Hallelujah. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you, Lord, and pray that you bless the giver and bless the gift a hundredfold, Lord. A hundredfold. Bring a hundredfold return, we pray, Lord, and build your kingdom. And thank you, Lord, for the service last night that was able to do for the Latino folks. And thank you that we're reaching beyond the walls of the synagogue, Lord, that our message is going out, that people are watching us online, and we bless them. We pray your blessings upon them and their families, Lord, and that you bless the work of their hands, bless their health, and bless their children and their loved ones. And we pray, Lord, and also thank you that you're using this ministry far beyond the four walls that we're in. And now bless us as we bring our offerings in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't forget the spare change basket for the poor and in Israel. And may God bless you as you give. If you're at home and you're online, if you'd like to give, you can give on our website. If you don't have a congregation or you'd like to give a love offering, you can just go to the donate button on our website and give securely on PayPal. Thank you, and may God bless you as you give.
to wake up. That's why he says to blow the shofar. He says it's to awaken you, to get you your attention. Amen. So we need to tell our souls to pay attention and to put on your beautiful garments. Put on a smile. Put on praise. Put on garments. And break out your nice clothes and come and honor the Lord. Amen. Wear your best for him. Whether it's from your clothes to the smile and what you do for him in the house of the Lord, do your best for him and shake it off. Let's all just shake it off. Go like this. Shake off that dust. The dust. Shake off the mundane things. Shake it off. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready and God is going to speak to us. Amen. Say, God's going to speak to me.
God's
in this season.
Speak to me.
He's going to speak to me.
In this season.
In this season. He's going to speak to me.
He's
Hallelujah.
Going to speak to me.
So let's all open our voice, open our ears. Let's awaken. Hallelujah. Let's wait upon him. My soul.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He's here. Hallelujah. You feel His presence? Amen. If you're watching at home, we're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. If you have any crackers or matzah or some fruit of the vine and you'd like to join us, this would be a good time to get some. And we're going to go down to the Lord's table right now. Hallelujah. The great I am is in the room.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. Hallelujah. And giving us, those who believe, eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I was on the night of Passover when Yeshua took the bread. He took the middle piece that we Jewish people call the afikomen. And he distributed it. He broke it into pieces, little pieces, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And by that, he was trying to explain to them what he was going to do for them by shedding his blood on the cross. Hallelujah. Being our sacrifice, our Passover lamb. He also took the third cup of the Passover meal, which we call the cup of redemption. And it's taken together with the afikomen, the matzah. And he took that third cup and he said, "This cup is the brit chadasha, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And so Jewish people take the cup and the bread, but they don't understand that it represents his body and blood. We don't believe that it is his body and blood. We believe that it represents it. He was trying to explain to them, using symbols of the wine and the bread, that he is you know, that it represents what he's going to do, and it's a sacrament. It's the same thing as baptism. You're not saved by baptism, but baptism represents your salvation. Amen? You're baptized to show that you're saved. You take communion to show that you're saved. Amen? It doesn't really... If this cracker was his body and I dropped it and accidentally stepped on it, I would be destroying his body, right? Or if I was a thief and I took this body that I just blessed and ran out the door with it, I'd be running off with the body of Christ. But this isn't the body of Christ. You are. Say, I am.
I am.
You are the body of Messiah, not the cracker. Very simple. Hallelujah. But very important. God wants us to be baptized. He commands it. He commands that we be immersed. It's funny, in St. Martin, during the hurricane, Hurricane Irma, there's some Jewish community, an Orthodox Jewish community in the island of St. Martin, and the family of the rabbi, five of them, I think, took refuge in the mikveh, which is the baptismal, and they hid in the mikveh, which is the baptismal, and they were saved from the storm hiding in the mikveh. And I have an interesting article that I found. I put it on my Facebook page. So I just got a kind of a kick out of that. Saved by the baptism. Praise the Lord. All right, so hallelujah. Well, let's see. I'm going to ask Amber, would you like to come and serve? And Marilyn, would you like to serve with Amber? Yeah, come on up. And if you haven't done it before, Amber can show you the ropes. Are you ready to teach, Amber? She's ready. She's ready. Hallelujah. All right, now, I just want to say before we come to the table, last week, let's give praise. Crystal Lynn, who had been hiding, every time I gave an invitation, she was hiding. I'd say if anybody doesn't know the Lord and would like to know Yeshua, and I'd just raise your hand, and she'd smile at me, and she'd go like this. Then she'd pull her hand down, and then she'd hide in Maria or whoever she was sitting next to, and she'd kind of like curl up and like kind of hide. But I knew that God was on her tail. I was watching. And finally, last week, so you weren't here, as many of you, she did raise her hand, and she took her first communion last week, and she accepted the Lord. And she told Maria, she said, I invited Yeshua into my heart. So I want to praise the Lord for Crystal Lynn. How many kids have gotten saved here that have received the Lord here? Brooke, Daniel, did you receive the Lord here? Did you get saved here? No? Praise the Lord. Well, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And if there's anybody here or watching that we're close our eyes and bow our heads, if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. If you don't know Yeshua, raise your hand, and I'll pray with you. If you don't know him, if there's anyone here that does not know Yeshua, hallelujah, just raise your hand. And by doing so, you'll indicate to me that you don't know him. Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God. Everybody knows Yeshua. So just prepare your hearts to come. It's a good time to get right with God. If you have sin, unconfessed sin in your heart, that's a good time to confess and get right with God as you prepare to come to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. May God bless you as you come, and folks at home, may God bless you as well. We love you, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed Shabbat. Come as you're ready. Ladies. Thank you, ladies. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, our Messiah, who renews our life and keeps us young and strong and heals us and saves us and delivers us from all our troubles. Hallelujah. Children, come on forward. Adults, let's gather around them.
May He always shield you from shame. May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you
here. Where's Josh? I want to pray for him. He's gone? Really? Okay. Praise the Lord. We'll still pray for him. He's got his first game back since he was in the hospital today, this afternoon. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the kids. We thank you for Joey and Daniel and Brooke and Billy. Thank you for Xavier and thank you for Isaac, who's still a big kid. And thank you for all the kids, Lord, those who are with us and those who aren't with us, Lord. All the family. Thank you for Riley and Zoe and
Chandlerana.
Who? Chandlerana. Yes, Chandlerana. And Lord, you know, you remember all the children, Lord, who are here and who aren't here. Father, we just bless them today. With all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Rachel, Rebecca, Leah, and Sarah. And Father, we just thank you that they are arrows in our quiver. They are the beginning of our strength, and they are our heritage, Lord. And we just pray that you would direct their paths, Lord, and direct them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That when they would hear your voice each day saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, Lord. Give them the mind of Messiah, that they would hear in your voice and know the one speaking to them, as Samuel learned. Teach them how to hear you and how to obey, to be like Samuel, to be like David, to follow you. Lord, show them that better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days anywhere else. Thank you, Lord. And bless them as they go to class. I pray for their teachers that you give them the word in power and anointing. And I pray that you, let the words of their mouths and the meditations of their hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And Father, just help the children to receive the word and let it grow 100-fold in them. And knit them together as brother and sister in unity and help them to behave in Yeshua's name. Gang, you are dismissed. Before you're dismissed. Before they're dismissed, who's teaching Amber?
Madonna.
Okay. All right. I want to hallelujah. I just want to call Carol and Diane to come forward. Carol and Diane, if you'd just come up to the front for a second. You want to present it to them, Charlie? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. We want to present these to you, Carol and Diane, because you have demonstrated faithfulness in years of coming to prayer. Gosh, I don't know, 8 years of just week after week. And I wanted to acknowledge you. We wanted to acknowledge you and honor you. Many come, and I want to also mention William and William Batiste, and Madonna comes regularly, and Greg comes quite often. But these ladies have been coming to prayer faithfully on a pretty much a weekly basis for at least 7-8 years, and without probably more than me, because I go away and take trips and things, and they are faithful and devoted, and we're grateful for your servanthood. And not only that, I just want to say that they are, whenever I call upon these ladies, and many of you as well, but when I call upon these ladies and ask them to serve, that they, I've never heard a no, unless they're out of town, unless they can't, I'm going to be somewhere, like Carol is going to South Carolina. I've never heard a no, I can't do it, unless I'm not going to be there. You know, I'm going to be in another state or something. And so their dedication and commitment is noteworthy, and we want to honor that servanthood. And so God bless you. Amen. Amen. He's the one who told me to honor you. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And I thank all of you who serve. And hallelujah. Okay. And why don't you put that title in? I need it to speak with you. Here, take it and give it back, and I'll just talk for a minute. So, so I was going to talk about setting the bar. Today was going to be my message. But we've got the fall feasts coming up, and setting the bar is really a message about discipleship. But I'm feeling led of the Lord to talk about the feasts a little bit today. So we're going to do that. So let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for this message that you've given me. Thank you for each one here. And I just pray, Lord, that you bring forth your message now. Empty me of Joe. Make me a vessel for your ruach and your word. And pour out your spirit. Bind the enemy. Bind the strong man. Let us not leave here the way same way we came in, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, as you know, the fall feasts are coming. They begin this Wednesday night, okay? And let's just turn, before I begin the message, let's just turn to Leviticus 23 for a moment. And let's see what God says initially about it. And I'll just need that paper back when you get a chance, as soon as you can. And there's a stand if you need it too. All right. So in Leviticus 23, it says, "The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these.' The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these.'" Now, to translate that, some of you have heard, but some of you aren't familiar. When it says the Lord's appointed times, in Hebrew the word is moedim, and that means appointment, set time. These are the Lord's set times, his appointments to meet with his people. So you don't say, "Well, I have an appointed time to see my dentist," or "I have an appointed time with my gardener." We don't talk like that. We say we have an appointment, and I have an appointment or a meeting. But very few of us talk in that kind of English. I have an appointed time with my hematologist. You know, we say appointment, and these are God's appointments. It says, you shall proclaim as holy convocations. And the word in Hebrew for holy convocation is mikre kodesh. Everybody say that, mikre kodesh. Mikre kodesh. Okay, so mikre is convocation, and kodesh is holy. And so mikre also means rehearsal. And as most Hebrew words do, they have two meanings. Most Hebrew words have at least two or even three meanings, and so a mikre kodesh means a holy convocation. What is a holy convocation? You're in one right now. When you come to worship God with His people, you're gathered together, whether it's for Shabbat or whether it's for a wedding or a bar mitzvah, a funeral. Whatever the occasion is, you gather to worship. If Wednesday night service, it's a mikre kodesh. It's a holy convocation. You've come together in the house of the Lord to worship God and be with His people. And being together with His people is a very important part of it. God says on Shabbat, and Greg, could you turn that light out behind me there? Just the one behind me, the backstage. No, just the backstage. Thank you. Thank you. It's important. God says, "These are my appointed times you shall proclaim as holy convocations," which means solemn assembly and holy rehearsals. Solemn assembly. So we're to get together as a sacred assembly to worship, but we're also to come together. It's a rehearsal. So our coming together in the house of the Lord for His appointments, His feasts, are rehearsals. Now, in the first one it says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work." Now, the penalty in the Bible, in the Old Testament, under the law, under the Torah, was death. The penalty for not for breaking the Sabbath and doing work was death by stoning. Okay? We are not under the curse of the Torah anymore, but the blessing is still there. So God says that he blessed Shabbat, he blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. And so therefore, we can receive the blessing of the Sabbath, which is a double portion. God said that he gave the children of Israel a double portion of manna on the Sabbath, and Yeshua told us that he is the true manna. He's the bread he's the bread of heaven, the real bread. Amen. So we get a double portion of Yeshua when we celebrate Shabbat. That's his promise to us. Amen. Okay. So God says it's the only day of the week. He says that he blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. He blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So the next feast, he says, there's eight of them listed in Leviticus 23. And so today's message is called The Fall Feasts of the Lord, God's Calendar and Pattern of the End Times. The Fall Feasts of the Lord, God's Calendar and Pattern of the End Times. The Bible tells us that God gives us patterns and shadows of heavenly things and the things to come. The fall feasts of the Lord are God's calendar for end time events, outlined in the Torah, the Law of Moses. Those feasts are Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths. Although Old Testament patterns only give us an outline of things to come, we have much to gain by understanding this outline of God's future redemptive work, which we're living through right now. God gave us his calendar of the major redemptive events in history, and as Don said before, we have biblical calendars available, which has the Gregorian calendar, January, February, March, April, May, but it also has the biblical calendar. So when you read something happened on the 17th day of the second month, you can go to your calendar and find out what the second month is, and you can look it up, or find out. You can actually figure out what day Noah's Ark landed on dry ground. It's if you read it in the Bible and you have your calendar, you can look it up, and you'll know it's coming right around now. Is the time when Noah's Ark landed? I don't remember the exact day, but anyway. So God's calendar can be found in his Word, and God gave us this calendar of the major redemptive events in history. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Understanding the patterns outlined in God's feasts is essential to understanding end time prophecy. Let me say that again. Understanding the patterns outlined in God's feasts is essential to understanding end time prophecy. I would submit to say you cannot understand end time prophecy without understanding the feasts of the Lord. Okay? If you don't understand God's feasts and you don't know them, you cannot fully understand. You're looking through a Western lens. You're not looking through a Hebraic lens, and you cannot know. You're reading this book, which we read, two, 3,000-year-old, 4,000-year-old Middle Eastern document. Okay, this is not a modern novel. This is not a who are some of the modern novelists? Name somebody. Stephen King. Who else? Patterson. Grisham, John Grisham, Patricia Cornwell. These are not their books. This is an ancient Middle Eastern document that has been translated through the centuries into English and not always translated well. Okay? There's many, many translations where we only have two Hebrew translations of it, okay, of the Old Testament. So let's go on. God's calendar can be found in his Word. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Exodus 12:1-2. Today we call the first month Nisan. It is also known as Abib, and it changed, it's believed to have changed during the Babylonian exile from Abib to Nisan. So the first month of God's calendar begins in the spring. When is Passover? It corresponds roughly to Easter on the Gregorian calendar, which is also a lunar calendar. Both the Gregorian and the biblical calendar are lunar calendars. And interestingly, the Hebraic calendar is 360 days, whereas the Gregorian calendar is 365 days. So what happens is, every so often, every 5 or 6 years, the biblical calendar, the Hebraic calendar, gets a year behind, gets a month behind. So we add what's called a month called Adar 2. We add a month to the calendar to make up for the 5 days each year that we lose. They've added a month to the calendar to keep it kind of together, to sort of coincide with the Gregorian calendar. Okay, so God's calendar has 8 feasts outlined in Leviticus 23. The first is the Lord's Sabbath. On the Sabbath, God rested from the work of His creation. The second holiday is Passover, Leviticus 23:5. On Passover, God brought the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. On Passover, Yeshua the Messiah was crucified at Jerusalem. It's quoted here in Corinthians, "For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast." 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. The third holy day on God's calendar is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leviticus 23:6. Yeshua was in the tomb during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yeshua said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." John 12:24. So when a Jew eats bread, he prays, "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz." Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. So Yeshua is praying a prayer of resurrection. Just as he said in John 12, unless a kernel of grain falls into the ground and dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so when a Jew prays, "Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth," we're praying a prayer of resurrection, you know, bringing that bread back out of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So Yeshua, the bread of life, is our corn of wheat which fell into the ground exactly on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The fourth feast of God's calendar is the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits takes place on the morrow after the Sabbath, Leviticus 23:11, the first Sunday after Passover. It was on the Feast of First Fruits that Yeshua arose from the dead. St. Paul affirmed this in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So Sunday, what the Christians call Easter, should really be called first fruits, because that's what the Bible calls it. That Sunday after the first Sunday of Passover, which is the day of the resurrection, which Christians call it Easter, Paul called it the day of first fruits. And the Bible calls it, God calls it the Feast of First Fruits. Man changed it. Man changed the name. Okay. So Yeshua rose from the dead exactly on God's Feast of First Fruits. Not only that, Yeshua is our first fruits. I could go on, but I think it's clear that God does big things on His holy days. We are on His calendar, which are on His calendar. I know that some of you are wondering about Easter. Easter, and I said this, Easter falls on a different calendar and has no connection to the timing of God's calendar directly. Easter Sunday may or may not correspond to the biblical calendar. It depends on the year. Okay. Now, there are 3 fall feasts that remain unfulfilled. These are the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23:24, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. The Feasts of the Lord are part of the pattern God gives us in His Word. And his feasts have to do with the timing of events as well as giving us a picture of what their fulfillment will be. Changing God's calendar changes the pattern he gave us to help us understand the end times. Okay? So the next topic I'm going to talk about is patterns, shadows, and examples. All right? When Moses constructed the tabernacle, it says he built it according to the pattern that God gave him, and let him make me a sanctuary, it says in Exodus 25, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so ye shall make it. Exodus 25, 8 and 9. And building the tabernacle according to God's pattern wasn't an option for Moses. Okay? God commanded him to do it a specific way. In the book of Hebrews, the writer mentions the temple priests who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, "For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews 10:1 says, For the Torah, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Here we see that the Torah is a shadow of good things to come. In other words, the Torah presents us with a picture or an image of the things to come. Lastly, the Apostle Paul refers to the events written about in the Torah of Moses in this way. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, "Neither let us tempt our Messiah, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur or grumble, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world have come." These things were written, the things of Moses were written for you and I, for our example, as a warning upon whom the ends of the age have come. Amen? They were written for us. So, you know, as I say this before, Moses was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. And so if Moses was a prophet, Deuteronomy 18:18, then his word is prophecy. And if Moses' word is prophecy, it still has application today. But many New Testament-only churches, they don't read the Old Testament, which doesn't make any sense, because our Yeshua, the Messiah, when he quoted the Bible, was quoting the Old Testament. Amen? Or when most of the disciples were quoting the Bible, they were quoting the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament. Praise God. Okay, so Paul makes it very clear that God has given us examples in the Torah and the five books of Moses to help those of us who live during the end times. The feasts of the Lord reveal to us God's timing and a biblical pattern for the last days. If we change God's calendar, then we change the pattern he gave us. If we change the calendar, we change the pattern. And that's where Christianity has kind of gone. You know, they're talking about the guy in North Korea, Kim Jong-ding or whatever his name is, and him shooting his rockets. And there's several things. They, you know, the telemetry, whether the rockets have certain things ready for a weapon to go off, or, you know, there's certain aspects of it that he has to get just right if he's gonna, God forbid, he wants to hit something, a target, you know, that he aims for. He's got to get it just right. And if you shoot a rocket and you aim it, you know, if you're aiming for the moon with a moon launch, and you're 2 degrees or one degree off from where the moon, you're going to go by the moon thousands of miles away. Even 1 degree, you'll be thousands of miles away from the moon as you're flying past it. Okay, waving at the moon as you go off into deep outer darkness, wishing that you had, wishing that you had aimed better at your target. So that's what Christianity has kind of done with God's patterns, is that by changing the pattern, they have moved the trajectory of you know, the rocket in a different trajectory. And that's why it's important to know our Jewish roots. That's why it's important for everybody, Jew or Gentile, to understand the Hebraic roots of our faith, whether we live them as we do or whether we just learn about them. It's important, okay? So the first of the three fall feasts is called Yom Teruah, and the Feast of Trumpets, you may know it better as Rosh Hashanah or New Year's, but for the purpose of this article, we'll stick to calling it by its biblical name, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. According to Leviticus 23, it was to be a Sabbath and a memorial of blowing of trumpets. The word for trumpet used here is shofar. Shofar. Everybody knows the sound of the shofar, right? This is the typical shofar of the Bible. This is the actual ram's horn. Okay. So that is the typical ram's horn. And so it's the day of Yom Teruah, means the day of the blowing of shofars, or the day, actually, Teruah means the awakening blast. Everybody say that, the awakening blast. It's like an alarm clock. I don't wake up in the morning to my alarm clock and say, ooh, an awakening blast. Behold, I have an appointed time. No, it's but that's what this is. And actually, this is kind of an awakening blast. If I went into my son's room in the morning, you know, early in the morning, and blew this at them, you know, 3 feet away from their head while they're sleeping, they'd probably hit the ceiling. But I would never do that, of course. Right, Isaac? I just thought of it, but I wouldn't do it. I might do it to Josh, but... He's harder to wake up. And so that's the shofar. The word for trumpet, your shofar, is ram's horn. God told Moses that the Feast of Trumpets is to take place on the first day of the seventh month on the biblical calendar. What day? That's Wednesday. That starts Wednesday night, is the first day. It's the month of, the name of the seventh month is called Tishrei. Tishrei. And so you can see that the seventh month on God's calendar begins in the middle of the ninth month, September. What month is September? It's the ninth month, right. But Tishrei is the seventh month, and so the first day of Tishrei begins this Wednesday night in the middle of the ninth month on the Gregorian calendar, so totally different. That's important to understand that. So if you're following the Gregorian calendar, you're off. Your trajectory is off. Okay, everybody say, my trajectory is off. Hallelujah. So whether you follow it or not, you at least should be aware of it. Okay. And on Yom Teruah, the shofar is sounded, this ram's horn, 100 times, according to Maimonides, the great rabbi of the 12th century, who lived from 1135 to 1204, he was a rabbi and a philosopher and probably one of the top three most famous rabbis in history. Maimonides, Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Nachmanides, those are probably the five or six top well-known rabbis in history. But Maimonides is definitely in the top three, okay? And so Maimonides lived in Spain, and he lived there in the 12th century. And Rabbi, so what did he say? He said that the major function of the shofar is to bestir man's conscience to awaken in repentance. The main function of the shofar is to bestir our conscience or our spirit and awaken us to repentance, to cause us to repent. And that's the what Maimonides said about the shofar. Now, there's another rabbi named Saadia Gaon. He gave 10 reasons why the shofar is sounded on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Teruah. I will list a few of those, not Yom Kippur, on Yom Teruah. Number one, the shofar proclaims that Yom Teruah, or the Day of the Awakening Blast, ushers in the days of penitence and serves as a call and a warning to repent. Number two, the shofar is a remembrance of the admonitions of the prophets that were compared to the sounds of the shofar. So in other words, he's saying that the sound of the shofar is a remembrance of the admonition, the warnings of the prophets. Ezekiel 33:4 warns us that if the watchman sees danger coming and he doesn't sound the alarm and let the people know, then if they die, their blood will be on his hands. So he has to sound the alarm, and whether he shouts it or whether he blows the shofar to let them know, danger, danger, danger is coming. Joel 2:1, another one, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain, for the day of the Lord has come. Another one is Zephaniah 1:14-18, which I won't read right now. Number three, Rabbi Gaon said this, the shofar announces that there will be a day of final judgment at the end of days, at which time the shofar will be sounded. So Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Teruah, is not the judgment day. Everybody say Rosh Hashanah is not the judgment day. It's the day that warns us of the soon coming of the judgment day. Amen? It's the day, the blowing of the shofar 100 times is a wake-up call to repent and get ready, because the bridegroom is coming for his bride and judgment is about to come upon the world. And God is about to gather us up, you know. He's actually about to come down to earth for the millennium and bring us to the valley where the great white throne judgment is, and down in front of the eastern gate there, that valley. I can't remember the name of it, but anyhow, that's where the judgment's going to be. And right in front of the eastern gate, down in front of between the Mount of Olives and the eastern gate of the Temple Mount, he's going to gather all the nations, and that's where the judgment's going to be. And so it's good if you know the Messiah, then you won't be thrown into the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20. It's good to know the Messiah and be in the book of life. You want to have your name inscribed in the book of life. Amen. So this is a Jewish rabbi. This is not a messianic rabbi that I'm quoting. These are the sages. Okay? Let's read number four of what he says. The shofar proclaims to the Jewish nation that there shall be an ingathering of the exiles, that's Jews like me, during the future messianic redemption to be accompanied by shofar blasts. So he's saying there shall be an ingathering of the Jewish exiles during the future messianic redemption, which is now, because he doesn't realize the Messiah had already come when he said it. So we're in the messianic redemption, and the Messiah, yes, he's going. It's interesting because 1 Thessalonians says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a shout, with the art." For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of God, and the trump of God will sound, and the Lord will take us up, and we shall be gathered together, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and thus we shall always be together with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be together with the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Okay? So at that sounding is what he's talking about. He doesn't even know the Lord. Hallelujah. But he sees it. That's amazing. Okay.
In fact, Yom Teruah is also known to the rabbis as Yom Hadin, or the judgment day, the beginning of the day of the Lord. So Rosh Hashanah isn't judgment day, it's the beginning of the judgment of God upon the world. It's the beginning of judgment. You might say it's the beginning of birth pangs, of tribulation. The beginning represents the beginning of the travail of the earth. The whole creation groans, the Bible tells us, waiting for the redemption of our God. The whole creation groans, waiting for the redemption of our God. There is one final redemption in Romans 8, and that is the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:23. The final redemption is the redemption of our bodies and the gathering together with the saints, those who have gone before us, and gathering together, meeting the Lord in the clouds, and then coming back down for the wedding feast and to destroy Israel's enemies. God's got several things going on to destroy Israel's enemies for the wedding feast and also for the judgment. Because the judgment will take place on earth. It's not going to be in the heavens. It's going to be right here on earth. And so let's go on. So Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Hadin. So you're getting this sense of judgment, you know. Now here's the good news. You get, if you're a believer, say, if I'm a believer, judgment is in this life. Now you might say to me, well, I'm a believer, I don't get judged. Wrong. Bible says judgment begins with the household of God. Amen? Judgment begins with the household of God. But your judgment is in this life. So whatever judgment God brings upon you as a believer, it's in this life. That's good. That's good news. That's good news. The bad news for unbelievers is that their judgment is on judgment day, and they get thrown in the lake of fire. Not a good judgment. No, bad place. Worse than, you know, Sing Sing, Attica, Red Onion. Bad place. You don't want to go there. Lake of fire. Uh-uh. Get your name inscribed in the book of life. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, Yeshua. Those of you who don't know who Yeshua is, believe in Yeshua. Believe in Jesus, and your sins will be forgiven. And that you don't have to give $1 million. You don't have to build a wing of a hospital, as the rabbis teach you. You don't have to build a library in your grandfather's name. You don't have to, do all these good so-called good deeds and give money. You can't buy your salvation. The Bible says in Isaiah, all our good deeds are as filthy rags to God. I think it's in Isaiah 59. It says, all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags to the Lord. So there's no amount of good deeds. How good do you have to be to go to heaven? If you're watching and you don't know the Lord, or you don't believe in Jesus and you're watching me, I ask you, as a Jewish person who never knew when I celebrated the Feast of Yom Kippur, if my name was in the book of life. I always wondered, how can I be sure if my name is in the book? And if you're Jewish and you're watching today, I'm sure you've probably asked the same question. How can I be sure whether my name is in the book of life? Well, if you put your faith in the Messiah, Yeshua, and Jesus, you'll find out. You'll know that your name is in the book, the Lamb's book of life. Amen? You'll know it. I know that I know that I know that my name is in the book of life. Let's all say that. I know that I know that I know that my name is in the book of life. And that is good news. Amen? That is good news today. Okay, so it deals with judgment. The first fall feast is the beginning of the day of the Lord. According to the Rav, Yom Teruah is the day on which God judges the nations of the earth. Interesting. Because what's going on in the world right now, the feast begins Wednesday. We just passed September 11th last week, right? The anniversary of 9/11, the anniversary of Benghazi, the anniversary of There were other events in history, I can't recall, that have happened on 9/11. But a couple days ago, the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, launched another rocket, a missile, over Japan. He's a real bright guy, because the UN has just about cut off 90% of his foreign trade and his ability, 30% of his gasoline has been cut off. Could you imagine if 30% of the United States gas supply was cut off, how much gas prices would go up? He is nailing his coffin, this guy is nailing his coffin, and his people, not even his own, because he won't suffer, his people will. But his country's going to have a new name pretty soon if he doesn't cut it out. It's going to be called charcoal. All right. So, again, just to say what the rabbis teach is that according to Rabbi Gaon, Yom Teruah is the day on which God judges the nations of the earth. So we can see that the sounding of the shofar is a call to repentance, a beginning of world judgment, and a prophetic reminder that God will regather the Jewish people back to the promised land at the sounding of the shofar. Lastly, the sound of the shofar is not only a warning of impending judgment, but each judgment is a shofar. Each judgment is a shofar. The blast, every blast of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah represents a judgment, like the trumpet judgments, okay? And is a wake-up call. The first come the prophets declaring the warning of coming judgment, as many are seeing prophetic voices. Some are small, little voices like this one warning people. Others are bigger ones like Jonathan Kahn, who's out there, you know, on a big, much, much bigger world stage warning, but it's not so much... It's not what size your ministry is. It's about whether you're doing what God tells you to do. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. So, you know, we just have to do what God calls us to do, no matter where he calls us to do it, or and so on and so forth, or how many people he sends us to. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's look at a little history here, application. It was September 15th, 2008. Hurricane Ike had just wiped out Galveston, Texas, and the surrounding areas. Then we received word that Lehman Brothers Investment Bank was going out of business on Monday. I think it was the 18th. It went out of business. And that same day, the stock market dropped 777 points. That stock market crash on Monday, I believe it was the 18th of 2008, had God's name all over it. Now, this is a little look back in history at this time of judgment. We're in the same season right now. I'm just looking back at this. Okay, so let's go on. The stock market began to drop 777 points. More banks and insurance companies such as Washington Mutual, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and AIG started going under also. The federal government scrambled to do something to stop the bleeding as the stock market and the housing market continued to tank. I view these events as judgments upon our financial system and our banking system brought on by boundless greed. All of these events started just 2 weeks before Yom Teruah in that year. Just 2 weeks before Yom Teruah in 2008. In the year 2001, the Feast of Trumpets began on September 18th, just 1 week after the attack on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the plane downed in Pennsylvania. And the date is September 18th, 2009, the Feast of Trumpets. In Iran, the former president Ahmadinejad, speaking before a group at a university, publicly denied that the Holocaust ever took place. Elsewhere, that 10 days uh, that That day, tens of thousands of pro-government Iranians protested with shouts of death to Israel. All of this took place on the Feast of Trumpets. Just a week earlier, I received a report from a prominent immigration attorney in Miami, Florida. This is back in 2008. He told me that the Jews of Venezuela were living under house arrest. They are forbidden to talk to other Jews. Venezuelans have been told not to do business with Jews. He also informed me, my friend Barry Brummer, who's since passed on, he also informed me that Venezuelan Jews are not allowed to leave the country with more than $100. It was these sort of policies against the Jews that began the Holocaust in Germany during the 1930s. Let's look at September 2009. On Friday, September 25th, 2009, President Obama, along with the French President Sarkozy, and British Prime Minister Brown disclosed the existence of a secret Iranian nuclear facility designed to give the Islamic Republic the ability to build an atomic weapon, a revelation that significantly raises the stakes in the West's intensifying face-off with Tehran, which, honestly, we see today, North Korea, tomorrow, Tehran, Iran. Today, we're dealing with North Korea. Next week, it'll be Iran. Okay, I really believe that we're going to have to deal with the North Korean threat in our lives in the coming months or year. Very few, you know, couple year or two. Okay, we're going to have to deal with it in a very hard-handed, heavy-handed way. I believe it'll be a miracle if it'll have to be like an Osama bin Laden type situation, where our guys go in there or take care of this guy in order for this not to go to war. You agree, brother? Amen. So you know, God will have to intervene to stop a war. But after the North Korean situation is dealt with, this is practice for Iran, because, and I've been saying this since we predicted 9 months before Trump was elected president, we've been saying at the same time that he was part of the reason he was elected. and this is important to understand. Trump's going to accomplish what God wants him to accomplish. So what I said he would accomplish, what I see in Daniel 8, if you read my newsletter called The Last President of the United States, which is out there, you can see it on our website. It's, you go to newsletters, they're archived. It looks like this. It's called The Last President of the United States. If you read the newsletter, I preached three sermons a year ago in February and March 2016. And I based it on a revelation that I believe God gave me from Daniel chapter 8, where that Donald Trump is the goat that destroys Iran in Daniel chapter 8. He destroys Iran, and I believe if you read the newsletter, you'll see ISIS as well. And I said in the newsletter that he would destroy radical Islam. In his inauguration speech, President Trump promised that he would eradicate Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth. In his inauguration, if you read his inauguration address, which you can get online, you'll see in one small paragraph where he promises to eradicate Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth. And that's one of the things I said he would do. Also said that he would help the Jewish people return from the West, because I've tried to figure out, I know that God is calling the Jewish people back. We've talked about things that happened during these judgments that took place in 2008, in 2009, 2001. Amen. In 2000, around this time, a guy named Ariel Sharon went up on the Temple Mount. He was the Prime Minister of Israel. He went up just to see the Temple Mount. He's the Prime Minister of Israel. Temple Mount is part of Israel. He went up to see it, and that started what's called in 2000 the Intifada, where the Palestinians began rock throwing and that started the rock throwing, which went on for years, several years, of Palestinians blowing themselves up on buses, in restaurants, and throwing rocks at Israeli soldiers and people, even worshipers at the Western Wall, all because the prime minister went up on the Temple Mount. You know, that's crazy. But that happened at this time, because this is the time of judgment. This is the time of tribulation, of birth pangs. This is the season. So there's always been storms. There's always been hurricanes. Noah had a bigger storm than Hurricane Irma, right? The flood was a bigger storm than Irma and Harvey and Andrew and Matthew and all these different hurricanes and Dennis and Rita and Ike than all of the hurricanes put together. We've had storms. God has used weather all throughout the Bible. He told Elijah, it's not going to rain for 3 years. Get ready. Tell the king, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And then Elijah was up on the mountain in the cleft of the rock, and he saw this crowd. He's looking out over the water on the Mediterranean up there on Mount Carmel. And he looked out, and he saw this little tiny cloud start to form, and then it expanded, and then the rain started to pour down. It had been 3 years had passed. And the rains came, so God controls the weather. He controls the storms, you know. He creates them. He uses them for His purpose. Right now, what He's doing with these hurricanes, the third largest population of Jewish people in the United States lives in South Florida. Mostly in Miami, secondly in Tampa. Over 600,000 to 900,000 Jews live down in Florida. God is pulling the rug out. God doesn't want to kill Jewish people. He wants to bring them home. He wants them to come to Him. But in order to make them come to Him, they have to be uncomfortable. So their yachts have to be tipped over, and their homes have to be blown down, and you know, and their Teslas and their Maseratis and their BMWs have to be knocked on the head with palm trees or soaked with salt water, 4 feet of salt water, enough. We call it suris. Everybody say suris. The Jewish people have to have enough suris trouble for them to want to leave the comfort of America for Israel, because you know they say about Israel, it's very expensive in Israel. It's the tax rate in Israel is 50%. The income tax rate is 50%, and the sales tax rate, if you want to buy a car, is 100%. So if you want to buy a $25,000 car in Israel, like a Kia, you will have to or a Dodge, you would have to pay $50,000. Okay, so they say if you want to make a small fortune in Israel, you need to come with a large one. All right, if you want to make a small fortune in Israel, you need to come with a large one. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go on. So these things, there was just an earthquake a week ago in Mexico. These are trumpet blasts. God is sounding the shofar to the nations, warning, you know, not only is He warning of judgment, we're in judgment. We're living in the days of judgment. We're living in the days of Rosh Hashanah. We're living in the days of the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? It's happening. It's like the 10 plagues upon Egypt. We're living in those days again. When these events are happening, and it took place over time, it's not the exact same thing. All right. So what's the pattern? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 through 5. The Bible is clear that the day of the Lord will be a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Zephaniah 1, 15 through 16. Yeshua said, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Luke 21, 10 through 11. And then I think it was Matthew in chapter 24 who said, men will be perplexed by the roaring of the waves. Men will be perplexed by the roaring of the waves. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. Noah was preparing an ark. Amen. And I believe the ark is not just about prepping, about, you know, storing food and having a bug out site and having guns and ammo and freeze-dried food and all these things. The ark, about a week ago, I won't name this person, but a friend of mine said to me, he said, Rabbi, I was not being Shomer Shabbos. I wasn't keeping Shabbat. I was out in my yard doing work last week at the time of the hurricane. The winds were blowing. And this is a person who lives on the coast, not in Florida, north of there. But anyway, and she said to me, a big branch fell down and nearly hit me, could have killed her. And she went in the house and turned on the internet and started. They know who I'm talking about. If they're watching, they know who I'm talking about. They keep Shabbat with us, and they don't have a congregation that they go to, but they watch our congregation, and they're a part of our congregation online. And so and so she took it as a warning from God, get inside and keep and celebrate Shabbat. Okay? These are serious times. And I don't usually say to people, you better do Shabbat. I never say that to people. I don't look at, especially non-Jewish people, I don't say, you better do Shabbat. Are you, you know, I don't look at Shabbat as a you have to do it for non-Jewish people. I look at it as a you get to do it. Amen? Let's all say that. I get to do it. It's, you get the blessing. You don't have to do it. There's thousands of people down on State Street right now partying away, listening to country music, drinking beer, and sweating away, sweating to the oldies, down there on State Street partying away, you know, just as it was in the days of Noah. Where would you rather be if judgment came on Bristol? In the house of the Lord celebrating Shabbat, or down on State Street drinking beer? Where would you rather be? In the house of the Lord, right? Where is it more likely to be safer? You know, where's the, you know, if you're here, if you're worshiping God, especially on one of his set times, when he says to be in the house of the Lord, as I said at the beginning of this message, these are God's appointed times. If we're in God's house on his appointed time doing what he says to do, you're safe. Isn't that an ark? I would argue that the feasts are also an ark of deliverance. That celebrating God's feasts and following the biblical calendar is an ark of deliverance. Being obedient to God in and of itself is an ark. Being where you're supposed to be. You know, a woman died in Charlottesville because she might have been a nice lady. I don't know. I didn't know her. but she died as this nut job drove his car into a plowed into a couple of other cars, and she was walking in between, and she got nailed, and she died a month ago in Charlottesville because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen? It used to be that song, I was in the right place at the wrong time. I was in the wrong place at the, you know, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You want to be in the right place at the right time. Amen? And it doesn't matter how many people are around you, as long as you're where you're supposed to be. Oh. Whew. Felt that one. And most people out there, I don't care if they're believers or not, they don't have a clue where to be. They don't have a clue where to be. I don't think most believers have a clue any more than the people drinking beer on State Street where they should be, because they don't understand God's calendar. They don't understand God's pattern. If you don't know his pattern, if you don't know his appointed times, how can you be? Your rocket's going to be a degree or two off, isn't it? Good preaching, Rabbi. They don't know. And only by grace will any of them be saved. Who are the martyrs going to be? The ones without a clue. Who are the people that make money on the stock market? The insiders, people who know, hey, there's going to be a startup, you know, Silicon Valley startup company coming. It's going to be like Facebook, blah, 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 blah. You know, whisper, 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 hint, hint, hint. You know, get in on the stock, even though that's a crime. It goes on, you know, that's what happens. People like us, we don't know about it. We find out after the money's already been made, you know. They're making their millions of shares, and they're buying it at, you know, at 80 cents a share, and we're buying it at $80, at, you know, $18 a share, or $30 when it starts out, maybe 80 for some cases, but you know, usually when it starts out it's a little less than 80, but still they're buying it for pennies, we're buying it for dollars, and they're making millions. We might make something, but we're not making what they make. Because they know where to be, what to do, what to buy. They're insiders. We're the insiders. Spiritually, we are. We're the spiritual insiders. Amen. And our job is not to take this information that we have and go out and go like this. And be shofars. Each one of us is to be a trumpet. It's to go out and be a watchman and let the world know, hey, guys, this is this. This is what the Bible's talking about. When it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. A day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, a desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities. Did anybody see St. Louis last night? The cities are falling. The Bible says it over 30 times. Google it. The cities are going to be laid desolate, and the people will flee the cities. And many of them will come here, and many of them will go other places. But the cities, this is not a time to live in the cities, in the big cities. This is a time to get out of the cities. If you know your Bible, you will know that. Read Isaiah 6. Isaiah says to the Lord, he's taken up to heaven to meet God. And he says to God, God says, who will go for me? And Isaiah the prophet says, I'll go. Here I am. Send me. And he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the God of, you know, the God of heaven and earth. The Lord of hosts, who am I? And the angel flies with a hot coal and he burns his lips. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's a foul-mouthed. He's a foul-mouthed prophet. Praise God. Isn't it good to know God uses foul-mouthed people? And the angel used the hot coal and said, your sins, your iniquities are forgiven. And then he asked God, he said, God, how long before the people repent? How long will it take? God says, till the cities are laid waste. Till the cities are laid waste in ruins. What's happening in the cities? That destruction. They're these crazy nut jobs. This is all prophesied. They're burning. They're tearing down. They're smashing windows. They're destroying civilization in the cities. And they're causing people to leave the cities. And they're creating fear. And they're creating panic. And they're hurting business. And they're creating Detroits. And they're creating, they're killing the cities where they do this stuff. And it's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. And it's happening in London. Yesterday, with the train bombing in London, it's happening in London. It's a process. It's a process. But you're seeing the destruction of Europe right before your very eyes. You're seeing the fall of Europe gradually to the Muslims right before your very eyes. So, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, is God's season of judgment. 1 year it will be fulfilled as the sound of the shofar ushers in the day of the Lord. Whether it is this year or another, the feast is a yearly reminder to us, a rehearsal of birth pangs and tribulation, as God's kingdom is preparing to overtake this world. Yom Teruah is also the time when God calls his ancient chosen people, the Jewish people, to return to the promised land. So it should come as no surprise that we see anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, now the new word is anti-Zionist, attacks, sounding the shofar of the alarm to the Jewish people and to all who love them and who will act to help them. You who are not, those of you who are not of Jewish descent or Jewish by blood, if you will help, if you're willing to risk the lives of your family to save a Jew, you'll find yourself in the history like Corrie Ten Boom, Oscar Schindler, Irina Sandler, Irina, can't think of her last name, but she was the nurse who saved hundreds. The Bielskis brothers who saved over 1,200 Jewish people in what's that Russian Republic? Belarus. In Belarus, the Bielski brothers. Did you ever see the movie Defiance? I highly recommend that you watch it if you haven't. Defiance, it's a great movie about saving the Jews in Belarus. And there were Catholics, Catholic priests and nuns who took Jews in, gave them baptismal certificates. Not all of them, but some. There were some very good Catholics who helped the Jewish people. Righteous, they call them the righteous Gentiles in Israel. That's what they refer to them. And actually, if you go to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, you'll see a tree. There's trees planted in the names of the righteous Gentiles. And they have trees with their names. And you can go by and read and learn about them. And there were many, actually, but not enough. But, you know, to do it, you have to be willing, like the Ten Booms and the people who helped, what's the family, the people that helped, what was her name, Anne Frank, try to survive. You have to be willing to risk your own family's lives. If you're going to do it, if you're going to help Jewish people in a time of desperation, you know, like the Holocaust, you have to be willing to put your own family at risk. How many people are willing to do that? And But that's what God's asking. He's looking for an army of such people who are willing to put their own spouses, their own children, their own house, their own property, their own lives. But he says, whoever loses his life shall gain it. Amen. Whoever loses his life shall gain it. So, we're going to celebrate the feast starting Wednesday night. I invite all who are watching and everyone here, please come. Please come and celebrate with us Wednesday night. The schedules are in your flyer, in your brochure. There's a schedule of the feasts right here. You can take it with you. Please come and join us. We have visitors will come. I invite the community to come out and celebrate with us. And people in the congregation, I encourage you, please come for the visitors. Because a lot of them will come without knowing half as much as you know. And they'll need people to sit with and drink coffee afterward and learn about it. So this is a ministry opportunity for you to come and share what you know with them. And there's books. We have books on the feasts that are available. God's appointed times. People can get certain books and take them home. But come celebrate the feasts. If you're watching, we invite you to come. Join us online if you're far away. Everybody. But one thing I ask of you, brothers and sisters in the congregation and friends of the congregation, is just to come. Come as much as you can during the feasts. You know, it tells the number of sacrifices. I believe it's in the book of Numbers. It tells how many sacrifices. You know, the number of sacrifices in the temple multiplied exponentially? Hundreds and hundreds of lambs and bulls and goats during the feasts. Why did the sacrifices increase? Because God is trying to get the message across, and he's asking thousands of people to make the sacrifice and come. That's all he's saying. Show up. 90% of serving God is just showing up. 90% is just showing up. If people would just show up, it's amazing what you can do. You know, organized religion, having a synagogue, you know, I've been attacked recently for being part of organized religion. But why do people who don't like organized religion and believe that they're prophets or apostles or intercessors or whatever, or seers, why do they come to places of organized religion and they want to use their gifts? You know why they come? Because you're here. They don't like organized religion, but they know that in their houses in the mountains and their houses up on hills, there's no one to prophesy to. So they want to come prophesy to you. And they want to come in, but they don't want to submit. They don't want to be under authority. They don't want to join. They don't want to be part of the group. They don't want to do the work. Sweep the floors. They don't want to clean the toilets. They don't want to cook the food. They don't want to wash the windows and vacuum and do all the stuff that takes to build a congregation and do the prayer and do all the things that it takes to keep a congregation together and teach the children and sweep things and sweep the sidewalks. They don't want to do that or work on the tech deck back there. They just want to come and prophesy. And you know what I say? Go prophesy somewhere else. I believe in organized religion. Now, is it all good? No, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of preachers, a lot of shepherds fleecing the sheep. And there's a lot of false prophets out on TV and in the churches. And I'm not saying every messianic congregation is kosher, but there's a lot of good ones too. It's just like the police. There's good cops and bad cops. Amen. In life and everything, there's good people and bad people. But you can't judge the whole body of Messiah. And synagogues and churches create an environment for worshipers to come and you know, and gather together, which is what God says. Let's rise. I want to bless you. Cracks me up, those folks. They don't like it. They don't like that we exist, but yet they want to come here and do their prophesying. Because you're here. Hallelujah. I want to prophesy to you. Prophesy, son of man. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha. V'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. V'yasem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. If you're watching, you can get the schedule for the feast on our website, www.forzionsake.org. Again, www.forzionsake.org, for Zion's sake. No apostrophe, just one word, for Zion's sake. And there's lunch served for everybody else in the fellowship hall. There's lunch, so please join us, and you can make your way over there.